Hello, listeners, and welcome to today's episode of Roguecast, in which yours truly, the Rogue Nail, is taking another ramble through the back streets. But it's just not. It's Friday, the 16th of May. Now, the subject for today's ramble is that of finance, fraud, and associated statist malfeasances against the people, in other words, wrongs. I was watching two videos yesterday, and I'll provide the links in the show notes. The first was an interview with Guy Taylor, Bodenham Manor. Now, Guy Taylor got evicted from Bodenham Manor along with his family and some 20 tenants, I believe, who were staying in and around the place in Herefordshire. And I think this eviction took place, must have been over a month ago now. And it was all carried out, you won't be surprised to hear, on behalf of a bank of a financial institution known as Barclays, who had created a phony loan in Guy's name. If you watch the video, he explains this. Now, involved in that operation was something like 50 cops, including an overhead helicopter and numerous bailiffs, but they were all relying upon one piece of paper in the hope, or perhaps in the erroneous belief, that it was genuine. This piece of paper purported to be a warrant issued by the High Court Enforcement Office. Now, as Guy unravels this, he makes the point clear that right from the very beginning, he questioned the genuine nature of that warrant when he was shown it. Remember, this was also a without notice early morning swoop on him and those under his care. We're looking, in the simplest of terms, at trespass with conversion. To get back to the issue of the warrant, Guy makes the point that all court orders, all genuine orders that is, have to be accompanied, they have to be sealed by the court. The organisations cannot issue themselves, which means that any liability issued against someone by purporting to be genuine has to have been issued by the court under court seal, signed by the judge. Not, as is the case happening now, with fraudulent. You see, it's all about fraud. In the second film I saw, Max Kaiser adopts rather amusingly the use of the word fruit as a substitute for the word fraud. But we're looking here at, and it's a recurring theme these days, we're looking here at the utter phoniness and the inauthentic nature of that which gets passes by way of the system, of the state, of the collection, the oligarchical collection or cadre of financiers, who ultimately are pretty much running things, as everyone is dependent upon that which they produce, that which they create. Money, the money, Morning. Hi. Now, guy's been doing some forensic research into this, and it's pretty much becoming ever so clearer and apparent that the councils, the amounts of fraud that are taking place across Britain right now, have to be experienced to be known in a way, because when it boils down to it, these systems of control are utterly illusory. So that means their paperwork cannot be illusory, cannot be anything less than illusory. It's all an illusion in that sense. But the trickery comes in convincing the bailiffs and the police that the documents, the erroneous documents that are being produced for point to give them authority to commit acts of violence against mortgagors and the like, are genuine. And they're not genuine. Guy makes it clear in his video by demonstrating just how inauthentic it all is. It would appear that the High Court office seems to have issued its own warrant, just as the councils issue their own liability orders, which is fraud. It's good old phony. But all those who are putting their name to them, and all those who are carrying out actions for and on behalf of those fake organisations, in other words, the police and the bailiffs, are being herded over the cliff, because they, individually, are culpable. They are responsible for any trespass, any theft that they carry out. And then, of course, we've got between them the next level, which is the lawyers, the people who are drafting claims, false claims, thrown on behalf of the banks against mortgagors. There was an article in the press the other day saying that by the year 2032, less than half of the population will own their own homes, and basically stating that it's going to be going back to the 1950s, and that most people will be renting. But it's all fraudulent anyway, whether you're renting or whether you've got a mortgage. It's one and the same thing. It's all pretense. It's all an elaborate web of lies that have been constructed for the financial system by the lawyers and the solicitors and barristers who represent their interests. And have played their part in the creation of these phony documents and phony systems, with people turning a blind eye to things. You know, as angry as it makes one that people are getting thrown out of entirely unsubstantiated debts, well, how can they ever be substantiated? They're illusory. They don't exist. And faked mortgage deeds, which the mortgagor is duped into signing before he's even the owner of the house, without any contract in place for him to, a proper, correct, lawful contract signed by all parties in place. And when you start to challenge these things, when you do question the pieces of paper and you challenge their authenticity, things start to happen. People will inevitably operating as bailiffs and police. They will cause loss and harm. In fact, do so on a daily basis. But what Guy has uncovered, and this was presented to his local magistrate, is the in-your-face fraudulent nature of it all, and he claims that the civil courts and the criminal courts and those operating within those jurisdictions, well, for the civil judges and the rest of them, they don't want to go anywhere near fraud. They get very uncomfortable when the word fraud is mentioned. Probably because it's a little bit too close to the truth, as they themselves, albeit perhaps unwittingly, are engaging in fraud every day. And there comes a point when unwittingness is no longer a viable position to take. Willful ignorance comes into play when one starts ignoring the evidence and the facts of the matter. And these facts, again, will not go away. All that is genuine, remember, lasts, because it's the truth. So the second interview that I watched, the program was a Max Kaiser. It was a Max Kaiser program on Russia Today. And that began, as I say, with a wide-ranging discussion of the utter fraudulent nature of political, financial, and pretty much everyday life in Britain in 2014, right now. Max Kaiser was making the point that every aspect of public life in Britain in 2014 is fraudulent. This is one of the reasons why the City of London, built as it is on a web of lies, continues to seemingly thrive. More and more fiat currency gets created, more and more debt, fake debt, gets created. And it's one of the most deregulated financial markets in the world. But that deregulation also extends to the way that people behave who are working in the public as legal officers for the police, as lawyers, particularly lawyers, and insurance companies. Because whilst this continues, more and more palpable loss and harm gets caused to individuals. Debts are accruing on the other side of the ledger, the one that the lying BBC and the rest of the media whores never reveal. And I am of the view that it's those individuals, the lying individuals, that need to be taken on. But because so many of them are a part of the disease that is infecting what is laughably referred to as the justice system, it's highly inappropriate that these matters, it's highly unlikely that these matters are going to be resolved by the very system which is so desperate to keep the lies spinning. How can they be? You wouldn't turn to a murderer, a known murderer, to try another murder, would you? It's all fake, it's all phony, it's all utter baloney. And yet, it's deadly serious because these fake systems of control are being used to justify acts of genocide against the indigenous peoples. By which I mean those born on and naturalised within the landmass known as, in this case, the British Isles, or Britannica, or Albion, however you wish to term it. And I've touched on this before as well, but nevertheless, it needs perhaps restating. But what's been created by the fake financiers and their systems of oppression is a parasitical society in which each individual is dependent upon other individuals, often working for corporations for his or her survival. This is the nature of a parasite. It attaches itself to the body of the host, and often unknowingly so, just simply begins to drain the host body of its energy, which is all that's happening really with regard to the one eye game. Particularly when that supply and demand is controlled by a cadre of financiers who have access to every level of public life. And Max Carver's making this point that, you know, as an outsider, you can see it very clearly just how deregulated the British financial system is, and as an extension of that, you could argue the judicial system, which is all built again on a web of lies, because it relies, as it does, on the promulgation of the Roman person system of governance, whereby the individual is duped into believing that he has a person, but into believing that he is the person. I don't often watch the Max Kaiser show, so this was an unusual pleasure for me. But I did wonder, when he began to introduce his second guest and their interview commenced, a guy called Paul R. Muller, who used to be the chairman of... No, he was a financial man at HBOS, Halifax Bank of Scotland, who was effectively drummed out in 2004 and has hitherto been basically exposing the fraud and the financial skullduggery at play throughout all levels of banking. It's a very, very powerful interview, and I have to say I rather like the fellow. He calls it out, and he names people and claims that he's a barrister and therefore does not go onto public television or any public media and say things that he does not have evidence to back up. But all it does, of course, is have further proof, were it required, of the fraudulent nature that Max Kaiser was identifying. So it was interesting that both of these films came out on the 15th of May. Along with a film which is worth watching by Neil Heffey, in which he recounts how Cheshire, Merseyside and Cumbria Constabulary conspired against him. Again, it's worth watching insofar as it gives one an insight into the levels of fraud that are once again going on and being directed against individuals in an attempt to basically stigmatise those individuals and prevent the truth from coming out. But as we know, one lie leads to another. And so desperate are these liars that they make mistakes. If you're not thinking rationally, and if you're under pressure to protect that which is rotten and corrupt, then this is going to cause some dis-ease in the individual. if not immediately, it will certainly have a deleterious effect in the long term. Because, contrary to what many people will say, I don't think lying actually comes naturally to us. People are not born liars. But right now, of course, there's a level of psychopathy prevalent amongst the ruling elite that, if you like, creates these systems of psychopathic control and filters down to those operating within those systems. And when you look at those who are operating as solicitors and judges and police, they're not the healthiest. You know, there's something uncomfortable about them. I think it is that dis-ease. Because unless you are truly, you know, a retarded individual, in the sense that you really cannot cognate whatever's going on around you, then it's going to get to you eventually. Liars and cheats never prosper. I mean, some people will take issue with that and say, well, how can you say that? There's plenty of liars and cheats who clearly have prospered. Yeah, but where are they all working? They're all working in the media industry, in the legal professions, in the various tools of tyranny like the police and, you know, the massive security industry. And, you know, those are psychopathic institutions that pull in people who have natural proclivities towards that way of, that modus operandi, that way of operating. I mean, you see it in priests, you know. The Vatican, for instance, what kind of a state is the previous Pope in? Ratzinger. Does he look healthy? Or does he look stressed out? Does he look diseased? Diseased. I mean, of course, there are some very good actors who put on the front that everything's fine, even though behind the scenes, they may well be cracking up under the pressure of the keeping the lies spinning that they're wound up in. Maybe that's it. Maybe everyone who's working in those areas is getting wound up like a coil. So how does that coil get discharged? Well, it may well be through Class A drugs these days, if the Crystal Methodist minister is an example of what lying does to a man. This was the guy, I remember, who was a former minister in the Methodist Church for 40 years, who became the chair of the bank, of the Cooperative Bank in Britain. And when that went tits up, he was subsequently caught on film buying some Class A drugs, hence the moniker Methodist or Crystal Methodist. I mean, that's where we're at, folks. That's where these people are at. I mean, do you think that they're able to go around like this, rabbiting into a phone, enjoying the magnificence of the spring, and speaking from the heart? No, how they fuck? Because the phone is. Parasitic phone is. And I'll keep reiterating this point because it is a salient one, and it's this. Although the truth may cause some discomfort initially, and it may well flip one's head, what comes subsequent to that is a sense of lightness and of being. Take on these issues, right? Stand your ground. Defend yourself and your family, for sure. But at the same time, make space in your lives to get out and about, preferably as far out of the city as you can and into the countryside. But you can still do it in the cities. I mean, you know, even suburbia has got its leafy avenues, bird song, and dare I say, even the occasional cheerful and friendly voice. And remember too, of course, that smiles are infectious. And I'm grinning right now as I'm saying that. So, I know that that in itself, when I say that and I do that, that will somehow get across to the listener. And maybe the listener's face will break out in a big grin. Or at least a witty smile of recognition. Recognition of the truth when it's being heard, when it's being spoken. So, what are we going to do about it? Well, therein lies an interesting question. Now, Max Kaiser and one or two others in the media, even the alternative media, are happy to stand to the sides and just watch things unfold. I don't think that's enough. You know, it's all very well claiming that one has anarchist tendencies and that one's soul resonates to the beat of an anarchist drum. But what are you doing about it? Are you still paying taxes to a phony state? A phony state whose existence, as such, you've all declared to be just that. Are you going to go and seek from that state permits, permissions, gun permits, parking permits, fishing permits? Are you going to still be using its passports? Are you going to be accepting its false notion that it can actually give you license to travel around in your own private chariot? License, remember, simply means freedom. You see, no one can give another license to free speech, license to talk, in reality, because it's an inherent right that you have. It cannot be taken away. Which is why whenever someone says to you, you can't say that, after you've usually just said it, it's just palpable nonsense that they're talking. Because if you can't say it, you just fucking do. What was all that about? One cannot give another freedom to do something which is unlawful and against natural law. Yet the police and the bailiffs falsely believe that that is not so. That a court, or someone in a wig, a man in a wig, can actually give another license to do that which is which that man does not have the freedom to do under natural law, is wholly preposterous. And until those operating under those false notions wake up to the fact that that is the case, the system will continue to spin out its bullshit. Bullshit, though it may be, but bullshit that causes palpable loss and harm to individuals. And if you don't think solicitors are leeches, consider this. Often, you can go down the magistrate's court and you'll find that floating around that place is a number of solicitors who were all looking for business. It's no different, and they will do anything, of course. They'll take on any business. They will lie, they will commit perjury on behalf of anyone, because the court has given them license to do so. But it hasn't, because it cannot. That is the fact of the matter. And again, you see, these people are more vulnerable than they arrogantly perhaps realised. Because once the fraudulent nature of all the documentation they're relying upon is proven to be fraudulent, then they're fucked. Totally fucked. And again, that makes them vulnerable. Not only culpable, but vulnerable. And whilst I know how onerous it can be to run a private prosecution, I think it is getting to the point where the people are going to have to come up with their own remedies. I think it was Lord Denning who said, if the law does not provide remedy, then the people will seek their own. You know, and if you look at what Guy Taylor was expanding upon in his interview, and if you listen to the Max Kaiser report with the interview with Paul Moore, you'll see what I'm talking about. The system is fucked. It's not there to provide remedy for the people. So therefore the people are going to have to find their own remedy. And that, dear listener, is where I, in other words, each and every one of us, can come together and amplify our power in the creation of grand juries in which these matters will be tried using all the facts available. If the county courts are not prepared to accept the truth, that no one is a debtor to the bank, that people are in fact creditors of the bank and the whole system, then so be it. Let a grand jury ponder of 25 or 13 minimum, I think it is, let a grand jury ponder over those issues. Look at the evidence, look at the facts. Hear the expert testimony, listen to the whistleblowers, and give the accused every opportunity to defend themselves against the accusations. Now that will make things very, very interesting. But as things stand right now, I think it's a fruitless venture to take a claim to one of Her Majesty's courts, particularly if it's a claim against a Crown agency or a bank, because the lie has to be kept spinning, and the courts are not interested in anything that's going to stop that from happening. How could they be? They're themselves a run on the same basis. Now that is not so much a revolutionary idea as an evolutionary idea. Man will find his own remedy, that's for sure. He'll have to. He'll reach that point where there is but no alternative. And evolution is something which occurs naturally. There's no turning of the wheel, because you're the wheel and you're the one that's turning. It's your natural state of being. The one is all powerful. Anyway, I think that the two episodes yesterday were symptomatic of these times that we're living in. It seems almost on a daily basis there are more and more truths being uncovered about the hidden hand of the financiers and the tools of oppression and the crimes that are being committed against the people by other people, by fellow beings inhabiting the same landmass as them. And those beings, you know, I would say are acting traitorously. If the Queen, if Her Majesty's government, which is a corporation, or capitalized corporation, is fraudulent, then all those that have sworn allegiance to it, ipso facto, are operating fraudulently too. And that extends down to throughout the financial world, the judicial world, the businesses, the corporations. Little wonder that, you know, some people in the street pick up criminal tendencies. When those in so-called higher positions of authority are their role models, then little surprise that that is the case. I'll tell you something as well, as an observation. I'm just at Nottingham Canal, and the higher temperature certainly does bring a few people out. The beer gardens across the way there, the Via Fossa and the Canal Tavern, are buzzing a bit, you might say, buzzing. Anyway, this is another Rogue Ramble, and I thank you for your attention. And I'd just like to wrap things up by reminding any listener who thinks it appropriate to show his appreciation by way of a donation, which can be done on the website roguemail.org. As the siren sweeps across the river, as the hubbub of people chattering over the pints rises across the canal, and the pigeons pigeon about in their inimitable style, I bid you a farewell for now, and we'll pick it up on the other side. Thank you.